At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. And thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. The phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. On today's episode, a young boy doesn't seem too upset at the loss of his grandmother because he is still seeing her. A girl's dramatic change in behavior can be linked to a game she wasn't supposed to play. Grandparents experience strange noises in their closet, but later learn there may be a link to a death. And a woman finds out that her boyfriend was killed while deployed when he visits her one night. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
Just almost burped there right in the middle of the intro, but I caught it.
Good for you.
I hit the burp button.
Parade you.
Parade me. I just had a big sip of my soda pop and then started doing the show. Uh-huh. So that sort of thing happens. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, we greatly appreciate those reviews on Apple Podcasts or whatever you download podcasts. That helps us out quite a bit. Don't mind. Take a minute to do that. And be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the program here. I had an interesting conversation that will be on not tomorrow's episode, probably the following day's episode, with Jerry over at Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Sure.
We were talking about children who have past life experiences.
Okay.
You know, essentially they come back, or they're kids, and they suddenly start talking about stuff that they should have no knowledge of,
right,
about who they used to be and such. And he shared three really interesting stories that he's heard over the past year or so. And we'll have that on, like I said, about 2 days from now, I believe, and they'll go on.
Okay.
And on his show, I joined him to talk about shadow people. Mm-hmm. And kind of thoughts on what they are, who they are. It's interesting because he was saying, he's like, "I hardly get stories about shadow people on our show." I'm like, "We get tons of them."
Yeah.
So we just kind of shared some stories. back and forth on the shows. So look forward to that. And if you're listening to this now, I believe the episode that I'm on with him is probably about a week or two ago. So in terms of real life timeline, let's go over to our first letter. Candace writes in, first off, I'd like to say what big fans of the show my son and I are. I do not have a story, but rather a few instances that have centered around my son since he was about 3 years old. My son is now 11 and a very curious 11-year-old about the world around him. He watches documentaries on almost any subject and enjoys talking with adults. So anyway, to dive right in with my son, he was around the age of 3 and he came to me to tell me that he saw a black figure in his bathroom mirror. Upon questioning my son further, he only said the figure was black and had no face. I told him I believed him, and not to be afraid, not know what else to say. Fast forward, we moved to a rental house, and whenever my son tried sleeping in his own room, he would always come into my room to sleep with me. In the morning, he'd say he saw floating faces and hands on. No matter how much he told them to go away, they would not. So he simply stated that he came to sleep with me. He was around 5 or 6 at this time. A few years later, my grandmother came to stay with us for a few days in our rental home. Ended up getting very sick and hospitalized, and she ended up dying. Upon hearing this news, my son simply stated that this was the circle of life, and this was just what happened. I was somewhat startled to hear this from a 7-year-old because he was very close to my grandmother, and I thought he'd be devastated at her passing. I asked my son what he thought a few days later about my grandmother's passing, and he stated he knows it's just the way of life works. A few weeks later, after my grandmother had passed away, he came to me saying he was tired of my grandmother tickling his feet at night and staring at him. I did not know what to say, so I just told my son to sleep with me from now on and that I believed him. One time I was in my kitchen with one of my best friends just talking. My son came in, and after a few minutes, he said aloud my friend was pregnant and would be having a baby boy. Sure enough, a few weeks later, my friend announced her pregnancy and did in fact give birth to a baby boy. My first child, a son, passed away in infancy, and my second son, who is the one I'm telling you about, would say he knows Joshua, my first son, and played with him when he was little. We have since bought a home and have not experienced anything paranormal until recently. One recent event to happen was about a week ago when my son was taking a bath and said while he was in the bath that white hands kept sliding up and down the doorframe. He finished his bath and was in no rush to leave his bathroom. I have since been experiencing feelings of unexplained dread and fear in the dark. I want to question my son on his seemingly calm nature when dealing with paranormal activity, but at the same time, I'm happy he's not frightened easily by it. He likes to use his voice recorder to catch EVPs and his camera to take pictures around the house. That being said, my son is frightened of the dark and likes to have the TV on or a nightlight when he goes to sleep. In addition, I always trust my son's gut instinct when it comes to anything. He's usually always right. I'd love to hear y'all's opinion on all of this. Thank you guys for the show.
I think he's sensitive. I think he has a level of understanding of the afterlife that is well beyond his years, and that's probably part of the reason why he won't be too upset, I guess, for lack of a better word, when people do die, so that, because he's gonna still see them. Mm-hmm. They're just in a different form.
Sure.
So that's interesting. I think he should kind of watch out, though, with collecting EVPs and ghost searching and stuff, because he is sensitive. Things will find him, too.
Mm-hmm. And you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting with the reaction he initially gave her. That's just the circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you kill grandma?
Yeah.
Because you know, it's just like such a nonchalant, like, oh, shit happens. Hey, where's the hamburger helper? You know?
Sure.
It's just like, that's not normal. But yeah, that's just interesting how he seemed to have another grasp on all of that, you know, much better than most adults do. Mm-hmm. From a very young age. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, if you like our program, we're almost up to EPP episode 200. 100 EPP bonus episodes. Yeah. Some of our best stories there over at ghostpodcast.com. Be sure to check that out. That's where we get an extra episode of the show every single week. And then there's three free ones that go out through whatever platform you're listening to this on right now. But there's a fourth one. That's the EPP episode. And that is filled with some of our best stories that we get in. Definitely worth it. $5 a month is all it is to be an EPP. And you get access to all of those. So you jump in now, almost 200 to binge away on. Definitely, definitely worth it at ghostpodcast.com. You can even do it through Patreon as well. The link is up there at ghostpodcast.com. Lisette writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Lisette. I'm a new listener of your podcast and love it so far. I listen to you every day on my way to work and heading back home from work. Definitely makes my drive and traffic much easier. I'm currently trying to catch up on all the earlier episodes as well as keeping up to date on every new one. You guys are great. I have a few stories to tell. None have happened to me, but to my mom. The one I'll be sharing today is of a time my mom and her friends played with a Ouija board and had a very scary experience. She was a young teen at the time, living in Mexico City. My mom and a few friends had been playing with the Ouija board once before at school campus and had been warned by teachers to stop playing with it and were told the game was not allowed on school campus. As teenagers, they obviously did not listen and still managed to sneak it in. One day during their lunch break, they stayed behind in an empty classroom and started to play. The day, two other girls joined them that normally didn't play but had an itch to see if it really did work. One of those girls watching, we'll call her Carmina, started saying and provoking comments about the spirit they were contacting, and she kept saying it was all fake and she was sure the girls were moving the board themselves. She continued making provoking comments, and suddenly the board started to write random things without the girls playing or asking anything. The board is basically calling Carmina out and telling her she better shut up and that the board would show her how real it was. My mom and her friends told Carmina to stop making those comments because they started to get scared of what the board was saying. Shortly after, the bell rang for class to begin and they rapidly stopped playing and started putting the board away to hide it before the teacher walked into class. During that time, Carmina just walked over to her seat and sat there quietly. So my mom thought it was weird. As the entire time, and minutes before, she had been energetic and commenting on everything. She ignored it and ran to her desk as the class was starting. The teacher began the class as usual. As the teacher began the lecture and showing a presentation, she began to walk towards the back between a row of desks. And as she walked past Carmina's desk, Carmina swung her foot out and tripped the teacher. The teacher looked back to see what she was tripped on, but Carmina continued to sit in her desk quietly, so the teacher let it go and continued with her lecture. All the other girls in the class knew something was up with Carmina, as they didn't know why she would try to trip the teacher. Keep in mind, this specific teacher was a big, tall, buff teacher and very strict, the kind that most students would be afraid of or not want to get in trouble by. As the teacher continued with the lecture and shortly after, Carmina had tried tripping her, Carmina jumped out of her desk and dragged a girl sitting in the desk in front of her to the ground and began choking her for no reason. Immediately, everyone tried pulling Carmina off the girl on the floor, but Carmina seemed to have supernatural strength. Nobody there was able to pull her off. By that point, the girl on the floor was turning purple. The teacher also attempted to remove Carmina from the girl, and she failed. She then had to slap Carmina across the face to knock her out and relieve the other girl. Shortly after, Carmina woke up after she was knocked up by the teacher. The teacher started questioning her as to why she had done that, and Carmina, instead of answering the question, asked what had happened. She actually did not remember anything from the point when the girls were playing with the board until that moment. She woke up after the slap. After that experience, my mom was so terrified she didn't want to play with the board or be around it ever again. That's my story, guys. This is the first story of a few more that I have and as well happened to my mom. Hope you guys liked it and hope I hear it on the podcast with Tony narrating it. Let me know what you think. And if you like me, do you think Carmina was possessed? Thanks.
I think it's if you like me.
If you like, yeah, it's about the inflection there.
Yeah.
And if you like me, do you think Carmina was?
I think she was. I think they didn't close it out properly and something got a hold of her.
You
got
to click the X.
No.
To close it out properly. I'm guessing they just did like the little line symbol and that's just, it kind of minimized the board.
Maybe. When you just shove it away, it just minimizes, but you're Your Ouija mm-hmm. board's still up and running, I guess.
Exactly. You got to be careful. You got to make sure you X it out The thing is, there's somebody out there going, where do I click? Where do I put the plan? Because the planchette's kind of like a mouse almost. And
yeah.
Certainly for the first version of Windows.
No, not exactly.
It is. It really kind of, it's the first mouse. It's the first, you don't know what information you're going to get. You're just kind of surfing the worldwide web of spirits or something.
Okay.
That's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah, kind of.
Was a Ouija board the inspiration for Bill Gates to create Windows? Is it all part of one big satanic cult? We'll find out on the next Inside Edition. That seems like something they talk about. Is that even on anymore?
Inside? I don't think so. No? I think it's done.
Inside Edition. It's always like on in the afternoons, like before the real news.
I know.
It wasn't as good as Entertainment Tonight. It was kind of like murders and stuff, wasn't it? Or... It wasn't like fun.
Yeah.
It was dark, scary.
Right.
Weird. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Alyssa writes in, hey guys, love the podcast. So far, only been listening for a couple days. My name is Alyssa from Florida, and this story comes from a very low point in my life. I had been in the 9th grade when I had gotten into a relationship with a boy who was big into being a skinhead. So that had caused a lot of stress on me because he was very abusive, constantly pushing his views on me and threatened to kill me and or anyone I really cared about. So it made me close away from everyone. He'd always made comments toward me being a Wiccan, but I believe it was more black magic than anything. So this led up to one night of us being on Skype and talking about something. I don't even remember at this point, maybe 5 years ago when it happened. Anyway, we were talking on Skype, and then all of a sudden, a tall, lanky, bony white figure crawled up behind him onto his bed, and I saw it look up at me. Its face was pure milk white, had huge black hole-like eyes. It felt like it was trying to suck my soul away in its creepy Cheshire cat-like smile that curled over itself at the cheeks. It stared at me through the camera, and I felt like I was frozen in fear forever. When I finally was able to say anything, the thing had been wrapping its bony spider-like fingers around his shoulder and its eyes still pulling me away. I screamed and started freaking out, saying, if this is a joke, it's not funny. I'm pissed. Stop it. But it never stopped until I had switched off Skype and threw my tablet at the side. I felt as if the image had been burned into my skull for days after that and would never leave. I was scared to shower or do anything alone, fearing it would come for me. My family and friends believe I was probably projecting my vision of him outwards, and it morphed into a horrifying image that still sticks with me to this day. I have depression, anxiety, and I'm fairly sure of PTSD, but have not been officially diagnosed just yet by a professional, and I had these problems at that time as well. What do you guys think this could have been? Was this me projecting my horrid vision of him since he was abusive and was into all this negative stuff, or could it have been something that was attached to him? He's told me it was someone he killed, but I don't believe that crap from him because he never told me the truth. But I'm hoping to get some thoughts. Thanks.
I could easily see it be something attached to him. Who knows if it was somebody he killed, which obviously is a red flag.
Just a slight red flag.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be something else that attached to him that made him start acting that way to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you have somebody who is just wrapped up in one giant ball of wrong, you're going to get negative things around them.
I like that one giant ball of wrong.
Yeah. I mean, there's just nothing good about that individual. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like, that's where I would certainly think it would be a hotbed for other negative things, not just like negative ghostly people that once walked the earth, but it's where you, I think you can very easily conjure up demonic, dark, really horrible things that find a lovely home around someone like that. And then if you choose to interact with that person, expect the fixins to come along with it.
The fixins.
Uh-huh. Expect the fixins to come along with the dinner.
Okay.
Oh, the big giant bowl of wrong.
Yep.
I don't know why I'm making all these weird analogies today.
I don't know.
It's like, my inner Dan Rather is coming out.
Okay.
Remember all the horrible, weird analogies he would make?
No. I don't.
It was almost, I mean, entertaining during, not to say, you know, breaking news on tragedies are entertaining, but he would always, when there was breaking news, he would just have like one after another. And you'd almost just watch him just to see like, what weird... correlation is going to be made for this horrible event going on.
You know, maybe it didn't stand out to me because I think, and I'm a Texan, so I can say this, we tend to say a lot of things like that, a lot of analogies or, you know, whatever. It's not really analogies. I can't think of what
it is. Is it a colloquialism? Where maybe. The way that it comes out so easily?
Maybe, but... So it didn't stand out to me, but I could see it standing out to everybody else.
Yeah, it was kind of a joke almost.
Yeah.
It's like, what did Dan say? Now you can like look at YouTube videos of all that. And I mean, he still does stuff today. And I know he still makes those references from time to time. But it was just always interesting in terms of tragedy going on. And he's kind of narrating the story. It's like, where the hell did that come from? It almost kind of alleviated the story sometimes where it's like, this is a really shitty, dark day. But what the fuck did Dan just say? You know, it's like, okay, well, there's a little gleam of something else. Interesting. Anyway, 855-853-4802. Our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Chris writes in, I wanted to submit a story to you that first got me interested in the paranormal. I didn't get the story from TV or movies. I got the story from my grandfather. He has since passed on several years ago, so I want to keep his spirit alive by telling the story to you at Real Ghost Stories Online. This incident happened at my grandparents' house many years before I was born. My grandparents went to bed one evening at about 10 p.m., on one side of their bedroom was a closet that ran the width of the bedroom, with one door on each end of the closet. They got into bed and began drifting off to sleep when they started to hear a rattling noise coming from one of the closet doors. My grandparents, confused, listened to the noise. It lasted for a minute, then stopped, then resumed, again a few minutes later. After about 15 minutes, my grandfather got out of bed, turned the lights on, and opened the closet door. When he opened the door, the noise suddenly stopped. He moved everything around looking for what could be making that noise, but couldn't find anything. He said the noise sounded like two metal hangers banging together. After trying to find a cause for the noise, he turned out the lights and got back into bed. As soon as he did, the noise started coming from the same area he was just looking, into the closet. Annoyed, he went back to look and could find nothing. Once again, he got back into bed, and the noise started again. At this point, the noise had been going on for over an hour, and both my grandparents were beginning to get scared. They, being devout Catholics, started praying for the noise to stop, but they were praying the noise. It got louder. At about 3 a.m, the noise started to quiet down and my grandfather finally drifted off to sleep. My grandfather was still wide awake. He just laid in bed staring at the closet. As he was watching, he saw a black figure come through the closet door and begin moving towards the side of my bed, or the side of the bed my grandfather was sleeping on. As soon as the figure reached the end of the bed, it all just vanished. All of a sudden, my grandmother shot up and said something. I just grabbed her foot and pulled on it several times. My grandparents, exhausted from the whole ordeal, gave up trying to get some sleep with the constant noise and went down to the kitchen to have some coffee and wait for sunrise. A couple hours later, they decided to check and see if the noise had stopped. As they were walking up the stairs, they could still hear the noise coming from the closet. Right when they reached the top of the stairs, the noise abruptly stopped. Moments after the noise had finally silenced, the telephone began to ring. My grandfather answered the phone, and it was his brother-in-law on the line. He told my grandfather that my grandmother's mother had committed suicide that night by drowning herself in the local lake, and they had just recovered her body at first light. My grandmother, till the day she died, believed that the noises that her and my grandfather heard were her mother trying to tell her goodbye.
That could be. It's very interesting and kind of suspicious that all that was going on while her mother was dying.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was some kind of death visit, but it's weird that it was stuck in the closet.
How frustrating would that be if you're the dead one and you're just trying to go and say goodbye or something and make some peace and you get stuck in someone's closet and you're just like stuck there by leisure suits and you're like, how does this work?
Yeah.
You can't get out. That would be disappointing. You only have so much time.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's like, it's a requirement of if you're visiting people after you die, that the visit actually has to take place for the next one. I feel like you have a list of people you're going to go to. And if you can't get the first one accomplished because you're stuck in the closet.
Yeah.
That nothing else gets to happen. That would be very disappointing. That would be. To be aware of that. You got to understand like how everybody's closet works, I guess.
Sure.
You got to think of these things.
Yeah, obviously.
Just like I could make a really, like maybe 10 people will get it, an R. Kelly joke about stuck in the closet because he had a horrible music video in the early part of the 2000s, literally called Stuck in the Closet. And he was trying to like make, I don't know, he was probably very high or something, but it in his mind, it seemed like a wonderful idea. And I think it's like a 30-some part music video. And every 3-4 minute music video is another verse of this song. So it's essentially like a 34-minute song, but it's just the same monotonous story that goes on forever. And it's horrible. I don't know which would be better, being the ghost that gets stuck in the closet or having to watch that whole music video. That's a tough one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Aaron writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I recently started listening to your podcast while I'm at work, and I thought to myself that this would be a good place to talk about some of my experiences with the paranormal, as I have quite a few of them, and will probably continue to write or call them in as memories return to me. I've already called in a story, but I wanted to write about this one because it may be a bit long, and I don't want to get cut off by the machine. When I was 18, a friend of mine introduced me to a boy who had just moved to town. Two of them were relatively close because the two of them were very similar, personality-wise, and got along really well. So he introduced me to him and thought the two of us were complete opposites. There was a definite chemistry and attraction there. After a month or two of hanging out and talking, he finally asked me out. We ended up spending around 9 or 10 months as a couple. He was in the military, and when he got deployed, we decided it'd probably be best to end our relationship before it got any more serious than it was, because neither of us thought that we were prepared for the mental and emotional strain that begins in a long-distance relationship. So we broke up. He was deployed, tried to go about my life. I thought about him every day, and I wrote him letters. And when he could, he'd write back and even call me. Even though we weren't together, we still talked as if we were, and we'd made plans to pick up where we left off when he came home. There was never any doubt that he'd come home. Not even in my worst nightmare could I imagine him not coming home. There was a period of about 4 months or so where he didn't respond to my letters or call me. He'd warn me that this could happen because there could be times where he'd have to go incommunicado?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cato or cado?
I think cotto, like okay. Avocado.
Okay. For one reason or another. And while I was a little worried because my anxiety kept telling me the worst possible scenarios, I tried to keep it at bay by telling myself any day now I get a call that he'd have good news for me regarding their homecoming. It never came. I'm a severe insomniac, meaning that I have a lot of trouble falling asleep and staying asleep at night unless I take some sort of sleep aid. I tend to try and start falling asleep between midnight and 3 a.m. most of the time, so it was around 2:30 that I started getting comfortable in bed. I put on my iPod, turned off my light, and laid down when I realized that I was thirsty. So I sat up, turned on the flashlight on my iPod to find my water bottle. I aimed it down at the foot of my bed where I had a wooden table holding a box fan. I can't sleep without a fan. My water wasn't there, but there was a figure standing behind the fan. I freaked out, and the first thing I did was flip the light on. Of course, the shadow was gone. I took this opportunity to find my water, take a shaky sip, calm myself down, and turn my light back off. When I did, I directed my attention again to the foot of my bed, and the figure had returned. It took me a moment to realize that the general size and shape was the same of that of my ex. Once I realized, I felt comforted. I smiled to myself and laid down, right as I started falling asleep. I jerked awake when I felt the edge of my bed sink down as if someone had sat down next to me. I could feel someone watching me. I felt a hand on my shoulder and felt it squeeze as someone leaned over me to whisper, I'm sorry, but I love you, that they had to go on now. It was his voice. I could smell his cologne. I rolled over wanting to see him, wanting to talk to him again, thinking that somehow he was actually there, but of course, he was gone. I got a call the next day delivering the bad news. I'm 23, almost 24 now, and not a day goes by that I don't think about him and I think of that night. I just wish I could tell him how much it means to me. That on his way to the other side, he stopped to tell me goodbye. I just hope he knows how much he still meant to me when he died. And I just hope that we'll be able to find each other again someday in the afterlife or the next life. Thanks for reading, guys, as this was a very personal encounter for me, but I felt like it needed to be shared. I'll write in again sometime soon. Aaron.
That's a very special story because not everybody gets to have that, especially when there's a deployment involved and somebody's not going to be coming home.
Mm-hmm.
To have that almost, not really a heads up, but just to have that knowledge before you even get the call.
Sure. I mean, it's going to be very, you know, tragic either way when you get that call, but it's almost like a personal, I mean, you couldn't get a more personal notification.
Exactly.
Than from the actual individual. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Brianna writes in, hello from California. My mother and I have some interesting paranormal experiences throughout our life. As we are both pretty sensitive, and today I'll share one of my mother's stories. In the summer of 2000, my parents were selling their house in Arizona, and my grandparents were selling theirs as well, since we were all moving to California. Both my parents' and grandparents' houses were beautiful, both only a few years old, and on a beautiful and large property. My parents had received numerous offers on their house, and whichever deal was almost closed, the prospective buyers unexpectedly changed their minds at the last minute, always claiming they just had a bad feeling about the house. Same with my grandparents' house. Throughout the process, my mother had been experiencing some strange health issues, mostly severe back pain, that could not be cured by a chiropractor or massage therapist. Through word of mouth, my mother had heard about a woman referred to as the Kuana healer, which is similar to a shaman, and is also sometimes someone who heals energetically and can communicate with the other side. She had worked wonders for the health of some of my mother's friends, so with an open mind, my mother scheduled an appointment with the healer. The woman began their session by focusing on my mother's back pain and also asked questions. In reading my mother's energy, they got on the topic of the trouble my parents had been having on selling their house. The Kahana healer sensed that something was off and almost immediately told my mother that she was receiving messages from her maternal grandmother, Bertha, my great-grandmother, who had passed away years before. She said that Bertha was upset with my parents, and they were moving to California and was throwing elaborate parties in my parents' house from the other side and was scaring away all the prospective buyers. According to the healer, Bertha loved that my parents' house was just minutes away from my grandparents' house, and it was also really good for my grandma because she was close to her granddaughter, me. My mother was stunned but also somewhat skeptical until the healer went on to say that Bertha was not ready to die when she did, and she was enjoying being near family and apparently partying in the afterlife. This all made sense to my mother because Bertha was a very strong-willed and wild woman way ahead of her time, and she still had so much life left in her when she passed. She was extremely healthy and mentally able until her last breath. It was only her body that was deteriorating. At this point, my mother was pretty much convinced that the healer was legitimate, so she asked if she could communicate with her other grandmother, her dad's mother. The healer was quiet for a moment and then laughed and told my mother what her grandmother had said. I'm dead. What else is there to say? My mother later told her father at this point, which he chuckled and said, that's definitely my mother. The Kahana healer ended the session by asking Bertha to please respect my parents' wishes and allow them to live their lives as they please and to stop throwing parties at the house. She told Bertha that she would still be able to visit my parents and grandparents in California, and my mother went home feeling hopeful and at peace. At the time of my mother's session with the healer, their house had been on the market for nearly a year. 1 week later, my parents sold their house, and 3 weeks after that, my grandparents sold theirs. The rest of our paranormal experiences have not been with relatives, but this is by far my favorite story. Thank you for allowing me to share this. I love your podcast. Have a great day.
So I guess maybe when you have a house that has multiple spirits in it, you have to, I now consider the fact that maybe they're having a party.
I suppose it would be a way of, if you're on the other side and you're trying to get a message across or just kind of cause a ruckus, have a lot of other spirits over, and your odds of something communicating or crossing over to the living side probably go up.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to have a social life when I'm dead because I don't have one right now.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like you like people.
Right.
You like other ghosts. I don't know if I'm still going to like or going to like people of you.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
You're so lively in death, but you weren't in real life.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting analogy.
That's funny.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jade writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. My name is Jade, and I'm originally from Joplin, Missouri. I've always been what you could probably describe as an old soul. In middle school, I found a book about past life regression in the school library. Not sure it was why it was there, and never found it again until I turned it in. Then in high school, I began to study paganism, more specifically Wicca, and that is when I found my spiritual path. I am sensitive to a degree. I can feel the energy of a place, and I don't hear or see ghosts, but I can certainly feel them. I've had several interesting supernatural things happen to me throughout my life, and I most definitely want to share them all with you. But to keep things straight, we'll start at the beginning. My uncle died when I was young. He was in a car crash on a cold February night. My mom had to make the choice to take him off life support when others in the family couldn't. After his death, Mom had visitations from him, protecting her. How do I fit into this? One day, my brother, who's 7 years older than me, had a friend over. He was in high school and I was in elementary. My friend's mom came to pick him up, which in and of itself was different, considering they were teenage males who basically did whatever they wanted. Needless to say, I had not met very many of his friends' families. This woman introduced herself to my mom, and they stood in the living room chatting while waiting for the boys to get his things. They could leave. Someone got onto the topic of spirits and told my mom that she could see them. My mom seemed interested, so she shared that she saw several men standing around my mom's chair, which I happened to be sitting at the time. I immediately got up and moved to the sofa. The woman described the men standing there as my mom confirmed that it was her brother and her grandfather. The woman said that they were her guardian angels, which my mom, who was not religious, mind you, accepted easily. She went on to inform the woman of the time that she was driving home late one night after her brother's death, and she was having a hard time staying awake when suddenly she heard her brother's voice say very clearly her name in a loud, demanding voice. She snapped her eyes open and swerved back onto her own lane. She made it home to my brother and I safely after that. This wasn't my mom's first experience, but it was my introduction. Years later, she told me another story about before I was born and my brother was just a baby. She was looking at a house for rent and walked into an older, nice house down the street from me once we ended up in years later. When she first walked in, she noticed above one of the doorways an upside-down cross. She had a bad feeling but decided to look around out of curiosity. In the window panes was the standard dead flies everywhere, but it wasn't until she looked out into the backyard that she knew she had to leave immediately. The backyard was covered with dead black birds. She left quickly and never went back. Other than that, than all this, in the first house I remember living in, I was never afraid while inside, but there was a window to an attic on the front side of the house. An attic we never found access to. I always felt like I was being watched from the window. I was convinced there was an old woman up there, but it only bothered me when I sat out on the front step by the sidewalk. Well, that's the beginning. Sorry if it's rambling. High school brought out the interesting experiences, but we'll get into that next time. Have a blessed day. And by the way, Lambert's is worth the wait time. Jade.
I think we've had a couple of stories about attics where there's a window, but then there's no way to get up there and people seeing things up there.
I'd be really bothered by that.
I would too.
Like, I don't think I'd buy the home until I figured out how I could get to this mysterious room.
Yeah.
I mean, there's fake like windows sometimes.
Sure.
That literally just go to the roofing. Mm-hmm. And it just looks like there's another room up there. But yeah, I don't, but you can usually tell the difference.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I'd have to know what's up there.
Especially if you felt like something's watching you.
Sure. There. And I finally in recent weeks, you know, explored our attic in full. Mm-hmm. But you could pretty much see it. There really wasn't anything hidden. It was just like, you got to go way over there on rafters to get to something. And I finally went over there.
Yeah.
I would at least need to know there's a way to get there. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be creepy though? If like there's the attic, you know, door and then you try to open it and it's just like bricked off.
Yeah. It's like, why? Why did they do that?
Exactly. But you don't discover it till you actually by the house. That would, yeah. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, please become an EPP extra podcast person. You sign up to do that on our website, which is ghostpodcast.com. You can also become an EPP through Patreon as well and help keep us on the air. Without your support, we couldn't do this thing. So please consider doing that at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.